tweeted earlier linking the closing of the country to your election success in November. Is this Easter timeline based on your political interests?
What do you mean by election success?
No. You tweeted. You said that the media wants the country to remain closed to hurt your opposition.
No, I think the media. Yeah, no, the media would like to see me do poorly in the election. I think
lawmakers and economists on both sides of the aisle have said that reopening the country by Easter is not a good idea. What is that plan based on?
Just so you understand, are you ready? I think there are certain people that would like it not to open so quickly. I think there are certain people that would like it to do financially poorly because they think that would be very good as far as defeating me at the polls. And I don't know if that's so, but I do think it's so that there are people in your profession that would like that to happen. I think it's very clear. I think it's very clear that there are people in your profession that write fake news. You do. She does. There are people in your profession that write fake news. They would love to see me for whatever reason, because we've done one hell of a job. Nobody's done the job that we've done. And it's lucky that you have this group here right now for this problem, or you wouldn't even have a country left.
This will be the third show on coronavirus. COVID. The Kobe virus. The first one was, of course, available on the free feed and the Patreon feed. The second one was only on the Patreon feed. That's the one where we got into vaccinations becoming mandatory. The mark of the beast embedded on the chip that goes inside the skin by Mr. Bill Gates. And today we're going to do a third episode. I mean, why not, right? You got anything better to do? We're going to check in here. I got some thoughts, some updates, digital currencies, emergency powers being enacted. Prince Charles, my God. Guns, social distancing technology through the apps. A little bit on Alex Jones, and then we'll wrap it up with my thoughts on the political agenda. Just my thoughts. Could be wrong. Been wrong before. You know that there will be a time, some time period, months from now, weeks from now, days from now maybe, when everything is so clear to us as to what was going on here. We'll know if this was fear-mongering. Was this a tragedy? Would this be the one of the things that unwinds American and global society, revolutionizing the world? Or will it just be another cold? It's nice to know. It's nice to know that someday we're going to look back on this. Someday. Hopefully soon. And I like this idea of sort of recording, sort of journaling these ideas as we move along. Because when this first kicked off, and I was feeling sick with maybe coronavirus, I don't know. Could have been. I had literally every symptom but the fever. They didn't have any test kits at the time, and it was terrifying. And I was in a real negative headspace when that was going down. But currently, as of this recording, March 26th, it's a real bummer right now. The numbers, when you look at the graphs, like Worldometer's website, which normally I would say is suspect, but they have sources for where they get the data. And I've checked out the sources. They look pretty good. So, at least for the areas that affect me in America here. But you see the numbers are following the same trend that we've seen in Italy and South Korea and China and all that. But to me, this is becoming a showdown, and part of me is really excited about this. I know, that sounds crazy, right? This is almost like the thing I've always wanted. Not in the sense that it's a pandemic, but it's an opportunity for clarity here, okay? And I want to address this before we get to that point, because I think this is important for all of us to go on this journey together, me especially. More than anyone. It is sort of a showdown going on with this coronavirus COVID thing. It's a spirituality, religion, thoughts and prayers attitude, big economy, right-wing ideas, capitalism on one side. And then on the other side, you've got actual science. You've got these graphs. You've got these charts. You've got the big globalist World Health Organization. You got Dr. Fauci with all of his nerdy science. Who's supporting Clinton? That's the big conspiracy. Now, if you've seen that, Dr. Fauci turns out to be a Clinton supporter. So who's going to win? My money, as you probably already know, is on science. But wow, would I love to be wrong here. Because I would forever change my attitude on so many things. On Trump as a president. Because like I've said before, I like Trump. I think he's hilarious. He's the greatest troll of all time. Like when he roasted that journalist. And the journalist said, do you have any words of support for Americans? And he said, I think you're a terrible reporter. Oh, I was dying because I saw that live when it happened. But yeah, him as a president, not really my kind of guy for that role. But I'll change my attitude on it. If he's right, he might be right. I'll change my attitude on science. Because as you know, I've vacillated between the role of science. On one hand, I get it. Like, the data is correct. The data is there. You look at it. Case in point, with these coronavirus cases and deaths and hospitalizations, you look at the charts and you see the exponential increase, which is alarming. And that's what all these science folks, these healthcare folks, that's what they're saying is like, hey, this is going to get really bad really quick. And if it gets out of control, it's going to increase to the point of unsustainability. And we're going to be stacking bodies in ice skating rinks like they're doing in Spain. I'll change my attitudes on faith. Again, something I've had doubts here and there, but you know, the right wing and the Republicans and look, this is, I'm stereotyping. Okay, I get it. I'm not saying 100% of all right wingers or 100% of all Republicans. I'm just saying in generality here, you know, have this sort of power of positive thinking and let's pray it out. And look, I think the prayers are good. I'll take them. I'll take the thoughts and prayers. I'm not one of those cynical folks that's like, oh yeah, what's that going to do? And I'll take it. I believe in that in the sense of energetic exchange with a higher power, much like the occultists do. They believe in that attitude as well. I'll also reconsider my thoughts on the masses, the mouth breathers out there that I don't trust to make the right decisions. I'll change my attitudes on conspiracy theories. I'll be further cemented in that world. The media, they'll come into question with all this. And guess when we're going to find out? We're going to find out in just 2 short weeks, April 12th. President Trump said, April 12th, we're going to have packed stadiums or packed churches for Easter. Western Easter, of course. Not Orthodox Easter, that's on April, 19th, 20th? So, if you agree with me, which, like I said, I could be wrong, I've been wrong many times. If you agree with me that this is rapidly becoming politicized, because why not? This is America, let's politicize a virus, why not? If you see this, as I'm seeing it, go to my Twitter, at Illuminati Eyes, and vote. I put up a poll yesterday, March 25th, and it's going to run till March 30th. In case you're listening in the future, you can check the results out. It'll show on the page there if you are listening after March 30th. And go vote, because I'm basically saying, which camp are you in? Are you in the camp of A, this is all fake news, this is fear-mongering, for some kind of ends, whether that be mandatory vaccinations or getting Trump out of office? Because in fact, they did say, you know, a lot of the people in that camp are saying like, look, these liberals have been talking about the only way to get Trump out of office is to crush the economy and it's going to be worth it. That's true. I heard Bill Maher say it. It's true. And I agree with them in the sense that like, the economy was on fire, and there's no way people were going to vote Trump out. No way. But now that it's not, because traditionally people look to socialism when times are bad because they, you know, need a hand. But when things are doing great, everyone's like, ah, keep government out of things. So, I mean, that's 100% true. And I said that on the first show. I said, I do question the timing of all this. That is it's very suspect, the timing of all this. I mean, it couldn't have fell more appropriately in the right lap. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, go vote or check out the results of the poll on Twitter at Illuminati Eyes. I got option A is, no, this is fake news, fear-mongering to get Trump out of office and to crush the economy or to make us do the vaccines, whatever. Whatever reason you think, that's option one. Then option two is like, no, this is a virus. This is scary stuff. And when we look at the data, when we listen to the nerds, this is scary stuff. We have to take this serious, and no funny games here. That's the second option. And currently, I'm on the second option. I haven't voted on my own poll yet, but that's my idea. Because, like, look, I get it. Like, people are saying, well, you know, this is just a cold. And, oh, man, the flu kills more people. But, like, that's not necessarily what they're scared of, really. What they're saying is that it's increasing exponentially. And as the human race, I've said this before when speaking about technology, the human race, we think on a linear scale. We don't necessarily comprehend exponential increases, which is what technology is going to do. It's going to sneak up on us exponentially, increasing every year. Moore's Law says doubling every 2 years, computational speeds. And before you know it, it's going to be, we're going to have a world that we don't even recognize because it's going to be rapidly changing so much. And that's what's happening right now with this coronavirus. The cases, the people that need the ventilators, it's increasing exponentially, not linearly. So sure, things are okay right now. How about 4 days from now? How about 8 days from now? How about 16 days from now? If we don't do enough, if we don't have the right measures in place, it's going to be out of control. And, you look at these other countries that have been going through it, unless that's fake news too, maybe. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm here to tell you, we've been lied to and deceived before. I'm not shocked if it would happen again, but this time, this specific time, I'm looking at the graphs, I'm looking at the charts, I'm talking to people in the healthcare industry. I know people that have coronavirus now. But like I said, there's a lot of weird things happening. Like when it first popped off, every basketball player had it, and Tom Hanks, and I'm like, yo, like I can't even get a kit. I'm sitting here on my couch dying. I can't even get tested. You got these people, Idris Elba, whatever his name is, that they've been, not only have they been tested, but they have no symptoms whatsoever. They're like, oh, I'm sitting here, I'm doing fine, I'm chilling. I got tested, I got coronavirus. Like, what sense does that make? To me, that's indicative of the system of elitism and the separation, the wealth disparity in our country. That's where we place our values. Bernie Sanders, my socialist communist manifesto friend, was ranting and raving about this earlier when they're voting on the stimulus package. Because, you know, they wanna bicker about how, you know, poor people shouldn't get any money. Like, we'll give them $1,200. That'll do them. That'll get them settled for 2 months. When, you know, for an extra few billion dollars, we could make that, you know, double that. Meanwhile, they passed a tax cut that funneled money to the top in a $1 trillion or whatever it was. Some insane amount of money. And, like, there was no arguments about that. And I think the testing just shows you that's indicative of what that system is. And that's kind of my worldview. I could be wrong. And I'm gonna come back around to that and explain my worldview on socialism versus capitalism at the end. Digital currency. It turns out that digital currency was put inside one of the proposed bills. And it was removed. But I don't know if you recall, but we talked about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoins about a year and a half ago. And it will be, in fact, in my new book that's coming out someday. I don't know when. Soon. It'll be out soon. And basically a compilation book of the sort of greatest hits of the podcast, where I kind of go through and I sort of put it in a more written form. And on it, we talked about, in there, there's a chapter on cryptos and Bitcoin and stuff. And I talked about all the issues of Bitcoin. I talked about all the issues. Specifically, there's a passage I pulled out for, and I put it on the social media feeds, links are in the show notes, by the way. I'm going to read to you from it. This is what I wrote a year and a half ago researching this. In the 1996 NSA paper on electronic cash, they addressed concerns that the anonymity of e-cash will have impacts on money laundering and tax evasion. The final words of the essay finish with this predictive statement. It may well be concluded that these problems are best avoided by using a secure electronic payment system that includes privacy, but not anonymity. Okay, that was 1996. And then I go through a little bit of thing about how Coinbase is quickly becoming the system used to obtain Bitcoins in a, you know, user-friendly manner. But you have to upload your driver's license, connect it to a bank account, and there you go. You got privacy, but not anonymity. Then, even more shockingly, and this is in the book passage again, for another idea to support the theory that cryptos are an Illuminati front, we need to look at a supposed Economist article from 1988 called Get Ready for the Phoenix. In it, they predict the global currency will eventually take over for the fiat currencies that will inevitably fail. Quote, something will be almost certainly in the course of 1988, and not long after the next currency agreement is signed, it will go the same way as the last one. It will collapse. Governments are far from ready to subordinate their domestic objectives to the goal of international stability. Several more big exchange rate upsets, a few more stock market crashes, and probably a slump or two will be needed before politicians are willing to face squarely up to that choice. This points to a muddled sequence of emergency followed up by patched up emergency stretching out far beyond 2018, except for two things. As time passes, the damage caused by currency instability is gradually going to mount, and the very trends that will make it mount are making the utopia of monetary union feasible. This was written in 1988. They were saying after 2018 it's going to happen. Basically, the global currency, which, as I argued, could be the Illuminati, Mark of the Beast, all that stuff. So we find out in the stimulus package, in the drafts, the U.S. were talking about building a digital dollar as a way to make payments to people. Now, I'm going to try to read you a little bit from it here, from Forbes. This stops short, and this is referring to the Democratic Party, who is proposing it. This stops short of the party proposing to create a cryptocurrency for this purpose, and it is unclear whether it will make the final bill. Now, from what I've read, because currently, I guess it hasn't been officially signed through yet, but the digital currency thing has been stripped out, supposedly, apparently. But I found that very interesting, don't you? Don't you agree? Department of Justice, they are employing emergency powers. Isn't that scary? Isn't that utopious, or the dystopian future we see so often in the movies? The martial law enacted. It says here, quote, the Justice Department on Sunday defended its request to Congress for certain emergency powers amid the coronavirus pandemic after lawmakers and legal advocates said that some of the proposals infringed on civil rights. Last week, and this is Attorney General Barr, who was previously, you know, a couple degrees of separation from your boy Epstein, if you recall, because his daddy's the one that gave Epstein his first job. Anyhow, and his daddy was the one who wrote that book about enslaving kids for sex on Mars or whatever. Yeah, sounds crazy, right? I did a show about it a while back. Check it out. Last week, the Justice Department submitted a list of requests to lawmakers that would alter the timelines that legal cases unfold on as courts have slowed down and closed across the country. The proposals, which included clarifying language around federal judges' ability to delay or prolong criminal and civil cases, drew swift criticism from progressive and civil libertarians who claimed that the asks were an attempted power grab by the Trump administration. Quote, "We have to keep an eye out for these kinds of authoritarian and, frankly, for these, this expansion of and rather suspension of rule of law. It does not matter how urgent times are. We have to make sure we retain our civil rights." That is from AOC, who, according to Fox News, is the next Antichrist. Prince Charles, he's got coronavirus. Quite fitting because his daddy, Prince Philip, said he wanted to come back as a virus one day, if you recall. He said, "In the event that I'm reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus to contribute something to solving overpopulation." That was back in 1988. Well, I mean, these British royals are something else, aren't they? And Prince Philip's still alive. He's like 98. Okay. Or maybe he died and he came back as coronavirus and gave it to his own kid. I don't know. But yeah, that overpopulation thing is one of the theories floating around about this coronavirus. Manufactured by the Chinese to get rid of the old people, the undesirables. And how curious is it that we're here in America talking about those theories? Yet you've got like this lieutenant governor of Texas who's basically saying like, yeah, let's get rid of the undesirables and keep this economy trucking. I mean, that's essentially what their argument is, right? I'm not trying to be hyperbolic about it. And I'm not trying to say that they're wrong. I mean, having a tanked economy kills people too. And like I said, I'm going to wrap that up. I'm going to tell you my personal worldview on things. Not that you care at the end of the show. Yeah, Prince Charles has the coronavirus. His dad was, I think, hanging out with the Nazis or something, but he wants to be a virus. And this is, yeah, the overpopulation thing. Let me finish my thought on that. Because Bill Gates, a lot of people were like, oh, Bill Gates. Because after my Patreon show, I had a couple people reach out. Hey, Bill Gates, he was talking about reducing the population through vaccines. He's killing us with the vaccines. And like I've said before, I've got a lot of questions about the vaccinations too, okay? I'm right there with you. I don't know if I trust all that thimerosal additive preservative crap. Well, they used to put thimerosal, now they don't put something else in there now, mercury or something. I don't trust all that. It for sure has side effects. CDC's website will show you the risks of taking these things. From a whole perspective, they say it's better for the whole, right? A few people have to sort of eat shit on it, though, unfortunately. But the Bill Gates says we're going to reduce population through vaccinations. And the logic for that, and I'm not saying I agree with this, I think this is suspect too, is that they claim there's, and I'm assuming this is in other countries, maybe underdeveloped countries that have higher child mortality rates, but people will have multiple kids, 5 to 10 kids, because they know one or two of them is going to die. And they got to make sure they've got a, you know, kid. Why, I don't understand. But that's the logic of the vaccinations. And Bill Gates is going to be like, hey, look, I'm going to vaccinate your kids so that your child mortality rate is less. You don't need to have 5 to 10 kids anymore. You just need to have 2 or 3. They're going to live. They'll be cool. Unless you're Mormon, have 20 kids then, you're good. Which, the Mormons, by the way, I know a lot of you probably have a lot of questions about the Mormons. I live out here in Mormon country out in Utah. God's trying to kill them with the earthquake. They're trying to take me out with them. But the Mormons, they have multiple kids, and I've heard, and I'm not saying this is official doctrine, okay? Mormons are good people, by the way. Lots of Mormon friends are great people. The greatest people. But they claim that the reason they have so many kids is because they want to populate their planet they get when they die. But to me, I've never understood the logic in that, because every Mormon is promised their own planet. So, like, if I'm promised my own planet and I have 10 kids, well, like, each one of them kids, are they promised their own planet? They're not going to be on my planet anyways. And like I said, I don't know if that's legitimate doctrine, but that's what I've heard. There's a lot of conspiracies about the Mormons out here. When you're not Mormon living in Utah, a lot of people tell you things. California, they consider gun purchases non-essential. They're shutting down the gun shops. This is every doomsday prepper's nightmare. That's why they already had their arsenal at home. I don't know. I don't know my thoughts on that. I'm a pro Second Amendment guy. I think everyone needs the right to defend themselves. For instance, if you go back to, because I'm always from the civil rights perspective, if you go back to the 60s when the Black Panthers were marching around with their guns, you know, all these people, all the white folks and stuff, couldn't trip over themselves fast enough to try to get gun rights taken away, try to ban guns, because they were worried about the Black Panthers rising up with all their guns. So, I mean, I think you need an armed public to keep the powers that be in check a little bit. Like, I get it, though. Like, my little revolver isn't going to do much against the Army's National Guard with their M4s and tanks rolling down my street. But, hey, you got to put up a fight if need be. Not that I think it'll go to that. Because, you know, you got to think, all these military members, they're just like you. They got families here and stuff. I mean, sure, they make a promise to the Constitution, but they're not robots. Not entirely. Most of them. So, yeah, so you've got, then you've got these apps. Social distancing is being enforced through apps, through smartphones. Yeah, believe that. Listen to this. Quote, Google is discussing sharing aggregated and anonymized location data from its apps with the UK government to show whether people are practicing social distancing. The technology giant told New Scientist it was at very early stages of seeing how it could share trends in location data similar to a Google Maps feature that allows users to see when certain locations are busy, but it stressed it hadn't yet shared any data with authorities. Not yet. The effort is part of a wider talk between tech firms and government on how countries can judge whether official guidance is affecting patterns of travel, where people are gathering, rather than trying to track individuals. Which I like that, right? I mean, keep it anonymous. I guess that's like better than specifically. But I mean, how long before it becomes specific, right? You find there's a habitual violator. Track them down. Then it goes on more, and they're basically talking about how social distancing measures could be analyzed through your phone that's spying on you all the time. Again, another point for the conspiracy community. Always right. They're always right. They knew that the technology was going to track you. They knew that the gun stores were going to close. They knew that there was going to be a power grab for emergency powers. They knew about digital currencies. All those things were pushed through or attempted to push through here off a virus. Alex Jones, the great Alex Jones, he's something else. He was on Sam Tripoli's Tinfoil Hat. And, you know, besides hearing that Hillary Clinton's still eating baby pituitary glands, he mentioned Disease X. Because, you know, if you listen to Alex Jones, and I recommend it, Tinfoil Hat, great show. Been on there 4 times. And Alex Jones is great. He's extreme. He's not entirely accurate. He's a bit of a fear-monger, in my opinion. But you need some of those people. You need him to balance out my boring non-committalness. So, like, how does he know Hillary's eating baby pituitary glands? I don't know. I mean, I get the logic behind it. I understand the adrenochrome theories and all that. But, like, that's one thing to say, like, hey, this is possible. Here's where it comes from. It's another to be like, my God, she's doing it. She's a demon. Anyways, he mentioned Disease X. And any rapid spitfires data out, and you're like, wait a minute, what? Where'd you find that, dude? And he says, oh, they knew about this and 2 years ago. They did. It's called Disease X. And I kind of looked it up. Amongst other things, I looked up. And in 2018, the World Health Organization had a list of diseases that need more research. Okay? This included coronaviruses, by the way. And one of them was called Disease X. And it's basically a placeholder, okay? It's not the specific thing, but it says, the knowledge that a serious international epidemic could be caused by a pathogen currently unknown to cause human disease. That's what this was, COVID-19. It's an unknown pathogen. And that's all Disease X was. So yes, they predicted this, but they've been, I mean, this has been in movies for 10, 20 years. Yes, these science geeks have been telling us this is going to happen. And then, you know, the people that don't like big government are dismantling the bodies that were trying to research and stay ahead of these things. What I found curious that they didn't get into on Tinfoil Hat were the recommendations for Disease X. This is very curious to me. And this is, again, in 2018. Many systems around the world are just not set up to deal with rapidly emerging unexpected threats. To better prepare our world for Disease X, here are some examples of systems that need to be improved. Okay, get ready for this. The first one, surveillance systems. There's a need for systems that could detect early when something is out of the ordinary and concerning, such as change in the climate, animal behavior, symptoms, healthcare, seeking behavior among people. Such surveillance systems must extend to communities, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so surveillance. That's the first thing. Second thing, healthcare systems. But hey, just a caveat on surveillance systems. They're not saying, hey, we need to make sure there's an app that ensures there's social distancing, or hey, we need to a camera on every home. They're saying they need a system that will survey the metrics and data that suggest a pandemic is coming, because you get stuff like this with the Chinese hiding the data so that we didn't hear about it, allegedly, or whatever. Because look, I'm with Trump on that. Like, this was a Chinese virus, look, I get it. Like, the masses can't hear that, because you're always gonna have a few mouth breathers out there that are like, oh, the Chinese did it, and start beating up Chinese people in their small town Kansas or whatever. I'm not saying Chinese people did it. I'm saying that the CCP, that Chinese government stuff, man, they were trying to keep this hush-hush, just like the Soviets with Chernobyl. Same thing happened. Anyway, number two, healthcare systems. Okay, yeah, got that. Number three, financial systems. Financial systems. Cryptocurrencies, maybe? I don't know. Let's read it. If you figured out how to get something done with money, let me know. Otherwise, when politics stalled the allocation of funds to combat an epidemic, such as what happened in the U.S. Congress during the Zika epidemic, everyone ends up suffering except for the pathogen. Moreover, there needs to be funding for less disease-specific activities. So kind of, right? Research and development, of course. Supply chain and delivery systems. Okay. So those are the recommendations. I find those very curious. Very applicable too, right? All right, now let's wrap this up here. Let's hear what I think. It's a political agenda here. It's becoming clear. We've got this clash of Americans. Because why not, right? We're going to politicize a virus. We got this clash slowly starting to form. You've got, on one side, and again, I'm generalizing, I'm stereotyping, this isn't 100% accurate for all people that are in one camp or the other. In general, you've got these right-wingers that are the anti-science folks, people like, President Trump and the Texas Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick. They're eager to get everyone back to work. They're like, hey, we got to get this economy cranking. Because the right wing is typically like the pro-capitalism kind of thing. You know, they're the Citizens United kind of group, like all capital companies deserve to vote too. They're a person too. I mean, that's the extent of it. It's like economy and money is their god. There's no end all be all. Trump asserts we're all in on Easter Sunday, April 12th, we're all going to be in church. Packed together, jammed in there, no social distancing. That's less than 2 weeks from now. Today is March 26th. That Texas lieutenant governor says his parents would rather die than hurt the economy. I mean, they want to believe so bad that capitalism, thoughts, prayers, bald eagles, that's the way out of all this. Power of positive thinking. Because they see their investments dwindling. Their stock portfolios dwindling. That's what I think. I think they're saying stuff that makes no sense. There's no scientific basis, no factual basis for it, because they want to try to fool the stock market into going back up, because the stocks are based off emotions. The economy is based off people's behavior. But science, deaths, hospitalizations, there's no emotion there. That's legit. But yeah, this one camp, they don't buy into all these graphs and all these charts that show the exponential increase. You know, the World Health Organization, the United Nations, all this stuff is an agenda to globalize power, consolidate power. They're clearly more on the conspiracy Alex Jones side of the aisle, who, you know, Jones asserts that, oh, you can just drink the gin and tonic. Why were the limeys? Who were the limeys in the British? They were drinking the lime juice. He had some whole idea of how you can beat this thing. And maybe he's right. Maybe they're all right. Okay? But that's one argument. Then the other argument is you got the left-wingers. These are the nerds, the doctors, the scientists. They waste all their money on college. Hey, college boy, reading your stupid book, indoctrinating yourself, not thinking for yourself, not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You got all these scientists and nerds and graphs saying we need to do more and things are going to be bad and we need to shut down the economy because these hospitals are going to get overwhelmed and people are going to die. That's your other camp. And this is my perspective. This is what I see happening. This is a deepening gap as of today, March 26th. It's barely perceptible. I would forecast in 2 weeks from now it's going to be insane. Civil war impending kind of stuff, right? Now, I said this when this first started. Nerds created the virus. Nerds are going to have to save us from it. And look, they say they don't know. Now we're supposed to believe, oh, this came from the wet markets and bats, you know, shitting on chickens or whatever they say happened. It just happens to be it's right next to this giant biolab that creates monster viruses. Just so happens. And on top of that, even if it was the bats and stuff, like, can we not grill the Chinese folks for their treatment of animals over there in Wuhan? They got these animals stuffed in little cages just so they can go home and get eaten alive or whatever they do, right? I know that sounds like kind of racist-y, but, like, I've seen the pictures, man. Like, they got these animals jammed in little cages. And that's not right either. That's inhumane to the animals, okay? Now the conspiracy right wing sort of argument believes this is entirely a deep state plot. I mean, you heard Trump say that on the press conference. He called up homeboy from the State Department. And he said the deep state department, and I think he was joking, right? He's actually pretty funny, but they say this is a plot to destroy the economy to get Trump out of office because he was going to drain the swamp. QAnon and them, they said, this is it, man. This is what they're doing. They're faking this virus, and they're going to arrest all these pizza folks and pedos, Tom Hanks included, and they're actually in prison right now. Oprah's in prison right now. They're just not telling us. They're keeping you all inside so you can't see her get loaded into the paddy wagon, which sounds absolutely fucking stupid to me. Now, what they are correct somewhat on here is that the left wing has in fact been saying the only way to get Trump out is to tank the economy, and they said it was worth it. I've heard them say that. Maybe not this bad. Maybe they didn't want it to happen this bad or in this form and fashion, but yes, that's true. I've heard it. But this camp, this viewpoint says the virus is real, but hey, it's not as bad as the lamestream media, the fake news media, it's not as bad as they're making it sound. They're fear-mongering for clicks and views. And look, I'm right there in that camp of like, yes, the mainstream media does do this. They fearmonger to get you to watch the news. I've been glued to the news. It's terrifying. Now, I don't fully buy all this, that because this is some next level economy tanking. This is, the virus is real. And I wouldn't think that if you're in this group that's trying to tank the economy, you'd be like, I know, let's bioengineer a virus that's going to kill everyone, including me, maybe. But to me, I think the truth would lie in the middle here, okay? We're going to take that balanced approach here. And just like politics and the economy, you can't have entire capitalism and you can't have entire socialism. The best system is a balance. An example here. The stimulus bill has socialism in it. It has socialism in it. But it's used concurrently with our capitalist economy to keep things moving. It's socialism to give money to people. The government giving money to people is socialism. It's not, you know, picking yourself up by your bootstraps. I mean, this is a handout. Let's be honest about it. It's what it is. And it's good. It's what we need. Because you need a balanced approach. America seems to have this pretty perfected, but it requires you and I, the masses, to sort of follow events, try to make sense of the news to keep this balance going. You can't have it skewed heavy one way or the other. Now, the virus is real. There's no denying that, right? I hope, I assume. The economy tanking is dangerous and can also get Trump out. These are all true. The science is real. And people aren't, like I said before, the people aren't understanding the exponential nature of this. Humans think on a linear scale, not exponential. The global deaths, the American deaths are increasing exponentially. So when people say it's just a cold or, oh, it's not as bad as the flu, they aren't picturing the exponential scaling of this. You'll see on the charts, they have a logarithmic scale. And you'll see it has like a 45-degree slope. It looks like it's steadily, linearly increasing. That's bad. A logarithmic scale is an exponential scale. The reason they make those charts to graph these exponential increases is because if you graphed it on a linear scale, it'd be a straight vertical line and you can't differentiate what's happening. Now, the flu in America, you know, the CDC tracks this. You can look it on their website. From October 1st, 2019 to March 14th, 2020, has 54 million illnesses, 59,000 deaths. That's huge, right? That's huge. And you look at, you know, coronavirus, you're like, oh, there's only like 1,000 people dead right now. 59,000 dead from the flu already. So people are out there like, dude, this isn't a big deal. And this is, again, March 26th. But what they don't see is that this exponential increase is going to hit 500,000 deaths. Unless we do the right stuff, right? Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if, like, for instance, Cuomo there in New York, he said that the cases are doubling every 3 days. So the deaths from COVID, you know, today we're at 1,000. In 3 days, it'll go to 2,000. 3 days, 4,000, 8,000, 16,000, 32,000, 64,000 deaths in 18 days. You've now surpassed the flu deaths that, like I said, are at 59,000 deaths. So you see what I'm saying? This is what the fear is by these scientists and these doctors is that, yeah, sure, right now we're doing okay. It seems okay. If we don't do anything, if we this left unchecked, it's going to be a nightmare apocalypse. So when people criticize Trump when he says, I want these Easter service churches packed, the doctors are looking at the data. They're saying, no, you don't. This is going to be a peak of death time by April 12th. So let me zoom back out. This is what I'm saying. This is a prime opportunity. I mean, in times of such negative scariness, we got to find the positives, okay? To me, I'm half excited to see what will happen. Will real data win? Will the scientists win? Are they accurate? Or will Trump and the lieutenant governor of Texas, are their hunches and prayers and thoughts and their power of positive thinking to see old people die and the profits keep flowing for the economy, are they going to be right? That's where I'm excited, because that's a win-win for me. I hope, I pray Trump is right. I hope he's right. So bad. I want my life to go back to normal so bad. I hope by April 12th, everybody's in the church. I hope this anti-malaria drug works. I mean, it looks like it's working pretty good from what I've seen. But it wasn't FDA approved yet. Those are the nerds. Those are the left-wing bureaucratic nerds. They haven't approved it yet. And look, don't start taking it because some guy just died because he was listening to Trump. Trump said the FDA approved it, but they didn't. And he started taking it before he was even sick, and he died just the other day. So if Trump and the right-wing conspiracy-type groups are correct, we're all free and clear by Easter, and all the pedos, Clinton, Tom Hanks, Podesta, they're all going to be in prison. If all that happens, look, my opinions on my worldview are going to change entirely. This is a clear example. I will openly and gladly admit it. Because, like I said before, I'm registered, non-affiliated. I stay out of the gang warfare politics because that's what they want, is for me to just be firmly fixed in one camp. But I don't really have a dog in this fight, you know what I mean? Like, what I want to happen is for Trump and these people to be right. I want Trump to be right and saying, like, look, this is just a hoax of the mainstream media trying to tank the economy to get me out of office. And I hope we find out the truth in 2 weeks. That this is a deep state trying to dupe us. And that all these scientists are just being scared. I hope he's right. So let's stay tuned to the news. Let's see what happens. And until then, stay woke.